Where can I find God? A little boy stood gazing at a picture of his father, who had been away on a business trip for many days. He turned to his mom and he said, "I wish my dad could step out of that picture and be with us here tonight." And his mom replied, "I know, son, I do too." Probably all of us have felt like that at one time or another in our lives, that someone that we love could somehow be with us, even though they are separated from us by many, many miles and many, many days. That little boy expressed in his own way one of the deepest yearnings of the human heart, that God, our heavenly parent, would somehow come and be with us in real and tangible and vital ways. You see, there are people everywhere that are seeking God. They are looking in nature. They are practicing meditation and spiritual discipline. People are reading religious books, looking for God in cults. They're looking for God on television and in personal growth groups. For all that searching, most of them are missing the New Testament's obvious point, that God is already with us. God has made God's presence known in the world through His coming of Jesus Christ. And God continues to use Himself through creative ways, life-giving activity in our midst. In other words, He's amongst us always. For those who have invested much time and energy in the search for spiritual peace and happiness, I've got good news for you. God can be found. God is. God is everywhere. God can be found. In today's gospel lesson, John the Baptist has been put in prison because of his teachings. There is a report of a very curious conversation that is going on, and John wants to know, is this man who is going about the countryside preaching and teaching really God's promised Messiah? Now, John has done his best to prepare the people for the coming of the Anointed One. He has spared nothing in order to preach the Word as he has understood it. Now, here comes Jesus, not in that judgmental role that John the Baptist has anticipated him to be, but instead, Jesus came as a gentle and kind figure who spends more time eating with tax collectors and sinners than in condemning them, who accepts gifts from prostitutes rather than scolding them, who is concerned with little children, old people, the powerless, those people who are much less fortunate. As well as the influential and the affluent, He is everywhere with all people. So John sends word to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we be looking for someone else? Is there another one?" Had Jesus been a commanding presence who took control and really put people in their place, oh, there would have been no need for that question. Had Jesus made John a kind of deputy or assistant Messiah, John would probably have not thought twice about whether he was the one. But you see, consider the circumstances that are before us. Jesus is taking the soft line on sin, the soft line on wickedness, at least as far as John is concerned. John's in prison for his offensive preaching and his open criticism of everything and everybody. Frankly, John's a little confused about what's going on. He expected Jesus to come in and pick up where he left off. You see, Jesus is not fulfilling his expectations. Is Jesus really the Messiah? He questions. Or has he put his hope in the wrong person? John the Baptist has got lots of things going on in his mind. And if you and I are honest, I think all of us will have to admit that at times we question our own religion. Is it really true? Or are we foolish to believe in God? We talk about the coming of Jesus and the angel's message of peace on earth, and yet we are probably no closer to world peace now than when we've ever been in our lives. We hear that Jesus restored sight to the blind, made the lame walk, cleansed the sick, and restored hearing to the deaf. Yet disease still runs rampant in our world. Jesus preached good news to the poor, yet everywhere around us we see hungry people. We see the needy and the dispossessed. For every ray of sunshine, there is a cloud practically covering the rest of the sky. We try to believe and remain faithful, yet problems and cares and worries weigh us down. Sometimes we get so discouraged that we wonder whether there is a purpose for struggles or whether we are just kidding ourselves. You see, like John, we are not so sure that Jesus is the one. I hear people say that from time to time. They question. They're just wondering. Leo Tolstoy has a story of Martin the cobbler. And many of you have heard this story throughout your lifetime. The old man who is promised a visit by Christ Himself. And he prepares his house for the King to come. And all day long, he encounters only ordinary people with common problems from morning until night. Is this story of your life and mine? All the while that we are looking for the big and the spectacular, that overwhelming evidence of the presence of the power of God, only to discover that God appears in the quiet, the ordinary, even the obscure places of life. When we least expect Him, that's when Jesus shows up. When we least expect to encounter Him, we find Him in the face of someone right beside us. You see, God comes, as Martin learned, through the kind word and understanding heart, the quiet sharing of a good deed done in simplicity and love. We expect God to come in a big way, but you know, we discover that God is already present in many ways, ways that we sometimes fail to recognize and do not grasp until after the fact. Think about that. How many times have you discovered the reality after somebody's gone? How many times has it come to pass that truly you were in the presence of someone holy, that God had allowed you, and it was just somebody that was just ordinary? That's who God chose. That's who God chooses. That's who God continues to call each and every day, is the ordinary. You see, at an Advent dinner at church many years ago, in a church that I was serving, we exchanged names. We asked each person to do something nice for the person whose name they received. It was called Secret Santas. It's nothing new. It's been around a long time. And while we were eating supper, a little girl came up to an older man, and while he was looking in the other direction, she placed a cookie that she had made on his plate. Then with a giggle, she ran out of the room. Someone observed this whole scene taking place, and they made a quick remark. She must have gotten his name. You see, that little girl set off a spark of joy that spread like wildfire throughout the church that evening. We suddenly realized that in that little girl's excitement and joy, and in the giving of herself, we had all experienced something of the presence and power of God. We see it amongst us each and every day. We hear it each and every day. You heard it this morning if you were paying attention when Vicki was reading to the children. Claire said, "Don't forget the moon." Stars. Stars are there too, but the moon's there. Don't forget it. It comes in little things that we forget sometimes. Where can I find God? If I am looking for the spectacular lightning bolt, that heaven-opening experience, you and I both may go a lifetime without finding God. But if I look in the common and the everyday ordinary places that I find around me, I will see God at work almost every time that I take the time to look, that I take the time to slow down and listen. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear, not only this Advent season, but always. Let us pray. Lord, thank You so much for who You are in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to find You in the midst of those that we serve, in the midst of those that we come in contact with each and every day, in the midst of this place that we find ourselves, in our homes, in our community, in the world around us, to take time to see, to take time to hear, to take time to be what it is you've called us to be. So, Lord, remind us of that wonderful story always, and allow us to see you in the people as you come to life. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for this community that I see being you each and every day. Some more than others, some quieter than others, some that others never know about. But Lord, you do. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your Son's saving grace. As we prepare our hearts to once again welcome that child in Bethlehem, allow us your mercy. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.